Chapter 8 Fires of Life and Heaven. With Herne and his Verdian tribesmen leading the way, the Steel Souls' march through the Hexwood was swift. Around them, the pine trees shook as if caught in a great wind. Wisps of light danced across their tops, and flames licked at the horizon as the battle in the glade began anew. Serena wondered whether Creel, Shale, and the others in the Faithful Blades regiment would survive the coming hours. For a Stormcast, death was inevitable. They had been forged to die, and die well. But mortals were more fragile. The Stormcast Eternals fought and died so that mortals could live. To see them die so brutally and so permanently sickened her to the core. She tried to push the thought aside. "Much is demanded of those to whom much is given," she murmured. The first canticle of the Hallowed Knights, the words by which they lived and fought. Sigmar had given them great strength, and in return he asked only that they use it in a righteous cause. In his cause. Even as she repeated the words, she caught glimpses of what might have been faces staring at the marching stormcasts from knotholes and strange shapes that loped from one trunk to the next, moving within the bark like shadows, keeping pace. Serena tried to ignore them, but they pressed close, and more than once she thought she heard the whisper of voices just at the edge of her hearing. The Steel Souls were being followed. Whether by foes or something else, she did not know, but she suspected the latter. At least twice their small group had nearly run right into a warflock of Zangors, loping towards the battle in the glen, or away from it. But the beastkin had not so much as paused, despite the wind being at the Stormcast's backs. In both cases, Serena thought that the trees had somehow bent as if to obscure them. As if the forest were seeking to hide their approach from the beasts who now ruled it.
"Halt!"
Gardas's voice carried easily through the dark. Serena and the other liberators spread out automatically, falling into a skirmishing line among the trees. The Judicators stayed close, arrows knocked. Ferus and his surviving retributors stood at the center of the line, arrayed to either side of Gardas. They had come to a cleft in the slope where the trees thinned. Great eruptions of rock, marked with strange carvings and sigils, cut through the forest floor, rising like irregular parapets. Thick scrub covered the ground and clung to the rock. From beyond the stones came the sound of drums, the same ones they had heard at the beginning of the earlier attacks. There was light as well, a watery glow shimmering up into the murky sky above. Herne spat and unslung his bow.
"This is it. The Forbidden Veil is beyond these rocks."
Though he spoke softly, Serena heard him as easily as if she had been standing beside him. The cleft was narrow and unwelcoming, the perfect place for an ambush or a stalling tactic, depending on how far back it travelled.
"Those carvings on the stones," Ravius murmured from beside her. He'd been chosen to go as well by Aetius. "They're Sylvaneth. I saw them at the Blackstone Summit."
He looked around warily, scanning the trees.
"And in Gramin," Serena said. "But they've been defaced."
The crudity of the desecration offended her, though she did not recognize the original purpose of the sigils.
"Other gods rule here now."
Gardas drew his rune blade. His voice silenced all conversation in the ranks.
"But not for long."
He looked down at Herne.
"You and your people will stay here. This battle is not for you. If we fail, you must carry word back to the others."
Herne made as if to protest, but fell silent under Gardas's calm gaze. There was a weight to that gaze, Serena knew. Not a harsh or hateful one, but heavy all the same. And few could bear it for long. The tribesfolk melted away into the trees, silent as shadows. Gardas watched them go, and then turned back to the cleft.
"Heavy hand," he said.
"Aye, my lord,"
said Ferros. "Speak, and we shall do." "Make a joyful noise, my brother,"
Gardas said, scraping the edge of his blade against the face of his hammer.
"Let them know who has come to call."
Ferros laughed loudly. He slammed the ferrule of his hammer down on a stone and raised the weapon up.
You heard him, brothers and sisters. Let us sing them the song of our people.
He started forwards, and the other retributors advanced with him. As they strode towards the cleft, they slammed their hammers together, weaving a ponderous rhythm. Cobalt sparks flickered with every crash, until the head of each hammer was wrapped in crackling brambles of azure light. The sound echoed up, pushing back against the dolorous beat of the unseen drums, like the crash of the sea against the shore.
"Where I walk, no gate shall bar the way,"
Pharos rumbled.
"No wall, no bastion shall halt my advance. I am faithful, and my faith opens all doors."
As they reached the cleft, the retributors lifted their hammers as one. They moved without hurry, but steadily, a millstone of silver and azure. Their lightning hammers snapped out, and the rock face ceased to be. Dust filled the air as the cleft crumbled and the slope shook. With every impact, more lightning ravaged among the stones, reducing them to rubble or uprooting them entirely.
"Loose formation,"
said Gardas, as he advanced into the billowing dust, his light acting as a beacon to those following behind. As they walked, Serena and the other liberators began to strike the flats of their shields with their hammers and warblades. Behind them, the Judicators' voices rose in song, a hymn from the Age of Myth, remembered now only by a few scattered tribes of desert dwellers and those who had been raised up from among them. The song flew ahead of them, riding the crashing wave of destruction. The retributors forged ahead, widening the cleft with every swing of their hammers. The rock face crumbled beneath their assault, and the slope quivered as avalanches were set off nearby due to the rhythmic destruction. Over the noise, Serena could hear the panicked cries of beastkin. Undoubtedly, they had been guarding the path, but there was no defense against such unbridled destruction. As the stormcasts advanced through the dust, she trod on broken bodies, Zangors caught by falling rocks, or the ricocheting bands of lightning that erupted with every hammer blow.
"We seem to have ruined their ambush," Ravius said. "Pity."
"There's more where they came from," Serena said.
Somewhere above them, on the shuddering slopes, dark figures raced. Screeching brays sounded as avian bodies leapt down into the dust and thunder, seeking silver prey. Serena pivoted, and her blade caught a Sangor in the neck. Its head spun away in a cloud of gore. Behind her, a Judicator fell beneath a swarm of bodies. His essence thundered upwards, and Sangors rolled away, beating at the flames that clung to them. Ravius crashed into them, scattering them. Gardas moved through the fray like a pillar of fire. His voice rang out, a clarion call cutting through the noise.
"Whose deed shall be written upon stone?"
"Only the faithful,"
Serena panted, choking on dust. The others echoed her. She drove a Sangor back against the crumbling rock face with her shield and slid her blade into its midsection. She let the body fall and stepped back, instinctively seeking the safety of the formation. Maintenance of the battle line above all else was drilled into the stormcasts from the moment of their apotheosis. Only by working together as a single mechanism of war could they hope to be victorious.
"Who will find redemption at the end of all things?"
Gardas roared out, somewhere ahead of them. His light flared, and she caught a glimpse of him, surrounded by darting beast shapes. The Sangors were drawn to the steel soul like moths to a flame.
"Only the faithful,"
she cried, advancing to his aid. Arrows shrieked overhead, punching Sangors off their feet or pinning them to fallen trees.
"Who shall weather the storm of storms?"
Gardas called, backhanding a beast with his hammer. He lunged smoothly, spitting another on his blade.
"Only the faithful!"
Serena bulled into the Zangor shield first as it made ready to strike the Lord Celestant. She bore it under and stamped on its head, bursting its narrow skull.
"Only the faithful!"
she cried again. The words filled her with strength, easing the weariness that threatened to slow her limbs.
"Indeed, sister, only the faithful!"
Gardas wrenched his rune blade free of a dying Zangor.
Keep moving, brothers and sisters. Do not slow your pace. Do not hesitate. We are the Blade of Azir, and we seek the enemy's heart.
The hallowed knights advanced as one, following the trail of destruction carved by Pharos and his fellow retributors. The cleft widened into an immense vale, like a wound within the heart of the slope. Trees clustered as thick as a Gaia lion's pelt, rising from the uneven ground in clumps and bunches. Rocks rose among them, thick with phosphorescent moss. At its heart, a cyclopean circle of crystalline shapes rose from the blighted soil. They loomed like the prongs of some vast, hateful crown, and the light which emanated from them warped everything it touched. A glowing mist rose from the torn earth, faces and shapes forming and dissolving within it. Those trees closest to it had become nightmarish growths of flesh and scale rather than bark. Their roots twisted and thrashed like snakes, and their branches tore at the air like claws. Serena had seen such a thing before, a flux cairn raised by the beastkin over sites of great magic. Phantasmal demons capered within the twisted grove that surrounded the stones, singing an abominable hymn. They gave no sign of noticing anything save the monstrous colours pulsing and flickering deep within the milky facets of the flux cairn. Nor did the ring of Zangor drummers and pipers show any awareness of the enemy who had come upon them so suddenly. But the Vale had more defenders than just bestial musicians and demons. Zangors swarmed through the trees, screeching out war cries as they raced to intercept the invaders to this, their most sacred of places. As the hallowed knights entered the Vale, Serena saw that Pharos and his retributors were already locked in battle. They fought with a group of heavily armored Zangors, larger than the others and led by an eyeless brute. Pharos and the creature strained against one another, their weapons locked. Gardas stormed towards them, smashing aside any beast that sought to bar his path.
"Who shall carry Azir's light into the darkness?" he cried.
"Only the faithful," Serena shouted as she fought at his side.
They were outnumbered. The vale was full of beastkin, but the creatures did not press their advantage as one might expect. Instead, only the bare minimum needed to slow the Stormcast's advance threw themselves into the fray. The rest of the Zangors loped into the blazing facets of the monoliths as if they were doorways. The surfaces of the great crystals churned like whirlpools, greedily enveloping the beastkin as they plunged into them.
"Where are they all going?"
Serena shouted, bashing a beast from her path.
"Where are they sending them?"
Gardas didn't reply. The Lord Celestant steadily pushed his way towards the centre of the clearing and the cairn, chopping down or smashing aside anything that got in his way. Pharos and the surviving retributors fought to clear his path against the heavily armoured Zangors, but there were simply too many of the beastkin. Even with Serena and the others aiding them, their progress was slowed to a crawl. Then, the eyeless Zangor broke away from Pharos and lunged for Gardas. The Retributor Prime roared in fury, but found his pursuit blocked by another of the creatures. The Zangor spear carved a black trench across the Lord Celestant's side, staggering him.
"Kazek has seen you, bright soul,"
the creature bellowed.
"Seen you in dream and portent. Now Kazek will slay you in the name of the Feathered Lords."
The creature spun its spear with impossible speed, launching blows, driving Gardas back step by step. Off balance, the Lord Celestant absorbed these blows, turning with them. Serena and Ravius fought their way to his side. Ravius got there first and managed to interpose his shield, catching a blow. The force of it knocked him to one knee, and before he could rise, the Zangor was on him. It kicked him in the chest, knocking him prone, and drove its spear down through his body, pinning him to the ground. Ravius screamed. Lightning billowed upwards, separating the Zangor from Gardas. It staggered back, losing its grip on its spear. Furious, Serena drove the rim of her shield into the back of its skull, knocking it onto its hands and knees. There was no finesse to the blow, only anger. As the beastkin shook its head and tried to rise, Serena drove her blade down through its neck. The creature lurched away from her, gagging. It swept its fist back, catching her on the temple. She fell, her helmet rolling away. The Zangor stumbled after her, one hand clamped to its ruined throat. It was dying on its feet, but was determined to avenge itself. She pushed herself upright and sprang to meet it. She smashed the Zangor back and hewed at it. It caught at her shield, gurgling imprecations as she forced it backwards, plunging her sword into it again and again. She lost sight of Gardas, of everything save the creature before her. In that moment, it seemed to be the sum of all that was foul in the Hexwood. Abruptly, it fell away from her, dragging her shield from her arm. Dead, it toppled backwards into one of the facets of the flux cairn and vanished with a sound like a stone falling into mud. Bewildered, she looked around and realized that she somehow managed to force herself a path through the melee. The light of the flux cairn caught at her gaze, drawing her eyes towards the pearlescent shimmer in its depths. She could see great pathways of twisted wood stretching backwards into a kaleidoscopic void. The pathways rose and fell with no rhyme or reason, like a tangle of dark thread. Demons and beastkin raced along most of them, hurrying towards a mote of green light in the distance. Flying monstrosities hurtled through the void above, riders bearing twisted standards hunched upon their backs. She could hear the scream of infernal horns and the crash of war drums. An army on the move, but heading where? It all made sense now. The Zangors had never intended to drive them from the wood. This was no army here, but a rearguard, meant to protect this hideous gateway until the last of their forces were on the march. But there was something else there, too. Something at once impossibly far away, and yet within arm's reach. Entranced, she looked into the heart of the flux cairn and saw light. A purer light by far than she'd expected. Silvery shapes pulsed in that light, shapes that were all things and none. There were faces there, childlike and androgynous, calling out for aid. She felt the desperate trill of their song in her bones and took an unconscious step forwards. The surface of the facet rippled as if in eagerness. The sounds of battle faded to a dull clamour. Lightning flashed, casting its glare across the clearing. She took another step towards the light. She felt the song grow in her. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw lean shapes, inhuman but beautiful for all that, watching from among the trees. No, from within the trees. They were singing as well, singing to the silvery shapes, calling to them, reassuring them. Trapped. They were trapped. Prisoners. No. They were hostages. She shook her head, trying to clear it, and she raised her warblade. If she could free them. Pain flared through her, and she staggered. More pain, flames licking over her armor, reducing the holy sigmarite to white-hot slag. She spun, instinct guiding her blade, and sheared through the end of a staff clutched in the talons of a Zangor. Another shaman, to judge by the primitive decorations it wore. The creature screeched at her as it cast aside the ruined staff and drew its knife. The shaman leapt onto her, knocking her backwards. Her warblade whirled from her grip. The beastkin was stronger than it looked, and its eyes burned with fury.
"You will not!"
it shrilled in a croaking parody of a human voice.
"The crooked path will remain open! Open!"
Its knife pierced a join in her armor, seeking the flesh beneath. She grunted in pain and struck the creature. It reeled, beak splintered by her blow. She shoved the creature back and lurched upright. Bleeding, weaponless, she lunged towards it, hands reaching for its throat. The shaman gave a screeching laugh as she bore it back. Why was it laughing? The song in her head rose to a mournful ululation. There was fear there, and despair, pain. She glanced at the flux cairn and at the shapes within it. They were starting to dissolve.
"Too late!"
the shaman hissed, grabbing her.
"They will feed the path with their death. It will remain open."
She didn't understand what its words meant. Whose death? The blade of its knife threaded a gap and found her abdomen. She gasped. The edge of her world turned azure, and she wondered if this was what Ravius and the others had felt. Was this what it was like to become one with the lightning, to die again and be reforged? There was blood on her hands and in her armor. She reeled back, vision dimming. The song changed. It pierced the fog of pain. She shook her head, listening, truly listening now for the first time, and took another step back, closer to the shimmering cairn. The Sangor Shaman pursued her, screeching imprecations. She ignored it, turned, and saw cerulean lightning erupt suddenly from within the flux cairn. It boiled up from somewhere deep within the green light at the other end of the pathways and cascaded across the crystal edifice, cracking the stones and disrupting the light. Serena shaded her eyes and felt the familiar pulse of Azir within the lightning. Somehow she knew that on the other end of that demonic pathway, something disastrous for the foe had occurred. Acting on instinct, she lunged forwards and plunged into the lightning-racked facet before her. It felt like diving into a storm-tossed sea. She was buffeted on all sides by unseen forces as she entered the pallid void. In the distance, distracting colours swirled through a great emptiness, broken only by innumerable fibrous pathways, twisting like mangrove roots away from her and into the green distance. The silvery motes hung suspended at the heart of this root-like web, and she stumbled towards them. The pathway undulated beneath her feet, as if in pain from the lightning crawling across it. More than once she nearly fell, due to either her injury or the writhing of the pathway, but something kept her on her feet. She felt as if someone were beside her, helping her walk. The wound in her side wept lightning, and it crackled and crawled over the silver surface of her armour, burning it clean of filth. She heard a faint roaring in her ears and thought it might be a voice urging her on. She stretched her hands towards the silvery motes, fighting against the silent winds that swept through the void. She knew what they were now. Soul pods, the future of the Sylvaneth race. They cried out for aid, and through her something answered. Their warmth enveloped her. Their song welcomed her. Driven by some instinct she could not name, she gathered them to herself, protecting them against the scouring wave of lightning as it filled the hollow space between moments. Ignoring the pain, she cradled the silvery pods, hunching forwards to absorb the impact of the lightning. It cascaded across her, and she sank to one knee on the spongy surface of the wooden pathway. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw many of the other twisting pathways crumble one by one as the cerulean energies lashed through the ranks of the army attempting to traverse them. Screams tolled in the void like bells, and the sound of splintering wood threatened to deafen her. Eyes half closed, she huddled, wondering when it would end. The pain in her side grew, spreading through her, and the lightning clawed at the edges of her sight. She heard the plaintive song of the infant spirits in her care, and the voice of the lightning whispering in her head. She could see a watery reflection of reality back the way she'd come. She rose to her feet and stumbled towards it, intent on carrying her charges to freedom. Around her, the empty place between moments convulsed like a thing alive. Lightning strobed across its impossible dimensions, burning more pathways and streaking off into the iridescent emptiness. The essence of the void caught at her like quicksand, slowing her. Even as it was consumed by the lightning, it was trying to prevent her from leaving with its prize. She stumbled and felt the panic of her burden. So close to freedom, and yet so far. Then a beam of light punched through the colourless murk. The voice of the lightning thundered wordlessly in her head and soul, urging her on towards the radiance. A silver gauntlet emerged from within its blinding heart, reaching for her. She caught hold and was hauled out of the void, even as the lightning collapsed the pathway behind her. Gardas dragged her back into the veil with a shout of triumph. As she tumbled to the bloody ground, her burden slid from her grip. The soul pods rose into the air over the veil, their radiance growing stronger with every passing moment. Where it struck the tortured earth, foulness was cleansed. Twisted trees burst into purifying flame as the steaming soil expelled the sourness within it. Demons screamed as they were consumed by light and lightning both. They wavered and vanished like burst soap bubbles.
Up, daughter of Azir! Now is not the time for rest!
Gardas caught Serena's hand and hauled her to her feet.
There is work yet to be done, and a war yet to be won.
My warblade, she began.
Her body ached, but she felt no weakness. It was as if the lightning had reinvigorated her, drawing her back from the cusp of death.
Take mine,
Gardas said, drawing his rune blade and passing it to her. He looked at her.
You did well, sister. Whatever comes of it, know that.
She nodded her thanks, though she was not sure of just what she might have accomplished. She took a two-handed grip on the rune blade, wondering what had possessed her to do as she had done. It was as if some force, far greater than herself, had guided her actions. She could still feel the heady pulse of it pounding in her veins. Around them, the battle continued. There were so few of her brothers and sisters now. Of the 20 who had accompanied Gardas, fewer than half remained standing. Pheros was among them, roaring out oaths as he smashed Sangors from their feet. The lightning danced across them, lending new strength to flagging limbs. Serena blocked a blow and bisected her attacker from its crown of horns to its gem-studded belt. Above them all, the silvery shapes grew more distinct as they grew brighter. They contained a multiplicity of possibilities. Some held tall, winding stalks with feathery leaves, while others were heavy with golden, glowing cocoons. Inside, still more were shimmering fungal orbs surrounded by halos of diaphanous seeds. Hundreds of shapes, each stranger and more glorious than the last. And all of them sang with the same voice, a roaring tidal wave of joy that washed over the veil and set the pine needles to clicking. Serena heard a screech of denial and saw the Sangor shaman fighting its way through the melee towards them, surrounded by a bodyguard of its bestial kin. As the creature wove its claws in a mystic gesture, its followers surged towards Gardas. He turned to meet them, hammer in hand, but before he could strike a single blow, a flurry of movement interrupted them. In the glare of the light, she saw impossibly quick, thin shapes burst from the trees all around. The Sylvaneth were at once humanoid and utterly unlike any living thing. The Treekin emerged from all sides of the veil and fell upon the remaining Sangors en masse. Bark sheathed, bladed limbs sigh through Sangor flesh. Root-like talons propelled lean, trunk-like bodies into battle. Jagged mouths opened in a communal hiss as branch-laced skulls thrust forwards fiercely. The sounds of the Sylvaneth pulsated on the air, like the crash of old trees toppling. Zangors died, and those that did not fled.
"What is this?" Serena asked.
"Something I'd wager that they have been waiting for some time," Gardas said.
The shaman was taken by surprise. Sylvaneth fell upon it from all sides, their splintery talons tearing into the startled creature. Their screams were vengeful, rasping things that sent a chill through Serena. The Sangor gave a despairing shriek and fell, all thoughts of vengeance forgotten. Roots and vines ensnared the creature, dragging it to the ground. All across the vale, a similar entrapment was taking place. All of the surviving beastkin were afflicted by grasping roots. Some were dragged out of sight, deeper into the woods, while others were jerked, struggling up into the trees. But most were pulled flat to the ground, and then slowly beneath it. Their screams echoed through the veil. Serena watched as the shaman tried to hack itself free of the entwining vegetation with its knife, but to no avail. Slowly, inexorably, the shaman was drawn beneath the churning soil, babbling prayers and curses. Then it and all of its kin was gone, leaving no more than a faint smear of ichor upon the ground. Wrath-sated, the Sylvaneth looked up as, with a final roar, the silvery soul pods surged upwards and away into the green skies. There they scattered on the wind, like shimmering pollen, until they were at last lost to sight. As the light of their passing faded, the first of the stones began to crack and shift. The lightning, too, had faded, but it had completed its task. The flux cairn was dying. Its glowing facets had grown dim and cracked. One by one, they began to crumble into glittering fragments. As the last of them collapsed into dust, the Sylvaneth turned to study Gardas and Serena. She hesitated beneath those flat, inhuman gazes. She could still hear their song in her mind, though only faintly now. The treekin undulated closer, one reaching out with a barbed talon to push aside her sword. It tapped a claw against her chestplate, and she looked down to see that strange, knotted patterns, reminiscent of the twisting shapes of the soul pods, had seared themselves into the sigmarite. From the pain in her chest, she suspected that similar markings now scarred her flesh as well. "What?" she began. She glanced at Gardas.
"A token of esteem," he said.
He bowed his head to the Sylvaneth.
"From one ally to another."
The treekin hesitated, and then emulated the gesture. They were not human, but some things were universal. A moment later they departed, with only the rustle of loose leaves to mark their passing. They vanished into the shadows between the trees, and were gone. Serena turned to gaze at the shattered cairn.
"What happened here?"
"I told you," Gardas said. "Sometimes even the strongest warrior requires aid, even if they cannot ask for it directly."
He pulled off his helmet and tucked it beneath his arm. His hair was white, and though the face it framed was that of a young man, his eyes were old and tired, but still vibrant, still faithful.
"But these cairns, I saw pathways."
She stared at the rubble. Gardas nodded.
"Perhaps the Sylvaneth were not the only ones who needed help. Sigmar moves in mysterious ways."
He looked up at the stars above.
"To defend one realm is to defend all eight. We stand together or fall separately."
He made a fist with his free hand.
"We are more than Sigmar's wrath, sister."
He opened it again.
"We can also be his hand, extended in friendship. Today, we were both."
"And what of tomorrow?"
"We are the faithful, and we will stand, whatever the cost."
He looked at her.
"Never doubt that, sister. Whatever the future holds, whatever waits for us there, remember this moment. Remember what you did. That is our purpose, above all others. Much is demanded."
"Of those to whom much is given," Serena said.
She straightened her shoulders, her fingers tracing the new patterns burned into her armor. Only time would tell what they meant. Gardas clasped her shoulder.
"What awaits us when the last war is won and the last march home begins is a mystery. I doubt even the God King himself knows. But today, you have brought us one step closer."
He smiled.
"And tomorrow, I have faith we will be one step closer still."